like to say it's good to be here this morning and appreciate another opportunity just to stand and say that we love the Lord. And I guess I don't know why. Probably just nerves, I guess. I was thinking about when we come up here and got to try to help y'all in revival, and I just kind of realized it'd been really right at a year, I guess, when me and Clint and Abram got to come up here, and it was a wonderful time. And I guess I was pondering there. Sometimes I get to pray when everybody prays, and I feel like sometimes I just like to listen. I don't know. I might be weird, but sometimes I just like to hear what other people are praying to the Lord about. Not to be nosy, not to be busy, but sometimes the Lord just lets you be quiet and listen to some things. And I was kind of reflecting, I'll be honest, about Mountain View, and I appreciate being here during homecoming. I know I'm not a member here, but I feel like an adopted member in some ways. I feel like it's one of my second homes, I guess, in our ministry, and just the love that y'all have shown me and my family and my kids, I always appreciate. And just doing little things, bringing us things during revival. I had me a birthday cake last year, and I appreciated that. And that those kind of things mean a lot. They really do. They just really do. And I appreciate being here with y'all on homecoming during this service. And I don't know, I've got probably the strangest thought I've ever preached on before on our heart. And it kind of came to us. I'd, as y'all know, we go to that camp up there at Cane Hollow. And I said something to the kids, and I'd never really thought about it before. And I said it, and I'd not really thought about it. And I was talking to somebody in my wife's family that's going through a hard time right now. And we were talking last night, and I said it again. And when I got home last night after we had got done talking, me and Ansley was laying in the bed, and me and her was talking. And I said, I don't know. I told him this, and I just kept thinking about it. And she said, that'd be a pretty good thought for a message. And I thought, well, I sure can't preach on it now because, you know, she said that'd be a good thought on a message. But nonetheless, that truly is really what's closest to her heart. And that's all I know to do. I remember early on in my ministry, I tried to make this big, great, grand title and this big, great, grand message. So maybe the preachers that had been preaching a while pat me on the back and go, you know, hey, that's, you know, good thinking right there, you know. But I learned pretty quick that if I'll just do what the Lord wants, he'll get what he needs out of it. I don't know. I've got a strange thought. It's a weird thought, and I don't even know where I'll read in the scripture. I don't even know if I'm even going to read, if I'm going to be honest with you. And it's strange. I know it is. It's weird, and I get that. But we were up there at camp, and we had this camp motto, I guess, and this theme that we kept going over, and I try to really pray on it and meditate on it and really encourage the kids whenever we go up there. And I try to have something for them that they can bring back. And I don't want them just to have a good time to where they say, you know, well, that was good. You know, I got to do some things like get up early and read my Bible, and I don't normally do that. And what I try to encourage them is whatever we do at camp, if you grow and get close to the Lord, take that back to your life. Take that with you so you can be a help to somebody else. And our camp motto was keep moving forward. That's what the whole camp was about. Keep moving forward. Don't turn back. Don't take hold. Don't, you know, it even says in there, and I know it's taken out of context a lot of the times about salvation, but it says a man that would take hold of the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And what I tried to tell them is the fact of the matter is when you turn back and go to the world, or you turn back and go away from, or that scripture that was written, the Jews at that time was turning and going back to Judaism instead of going forward and pressing toward the mark of their high calling of Jesus Christ. They They took their eye off the ball, I guess you'd say. And that's what I was trying to encourage the kids in, is you got to learn from your past, but you can't live in it. And that's exactly what I was talking about to this family member of Ansley's family, was talking to them about, you can't beat yourself up about all the things you did in the past, and you can't try to get ahead and try to fix tomorrow. You got to be where your feet are. That's the most important thing I feel like we can do. And that's where we got to be between us and God this morning, is what we got to do. We got to be where our feet are. We've got to understand that what tomorrow happens, we sing the song, I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know who holds it, right? We say that, but yet we worry about what's going on tomorrow. And a lot of times in the middle of service, we're thinking about what we're going to be doing this week or tomorrow. And then a lot of times that holds us up from really getting close to the Lord. And then our past is usually what keeps us from coming here. Our past is usually that thing that keeps us from coming down here and giving everything over to God. It is, because our past is not something typically we're very proud of. There's things that we've done in life that we feel like we can't even get up in front of our church and tell, and that's okay. There's some things between you and God that's between you and God for a reason. And that's why that God will cast it into a sea of forgetfulness, but He still lets us remember it, because we're supposed to learn from the things that we did before. And I don't know, I got a strange thought. It's a very weird thought, but I've flown a lot throughout the years for work. I mean, a lot. I've flown thousands and thousands of miles. I've flown for the Army. I've flown for work all the time. I fly constantly. I've made jokes many times. I could probably stand up like a flight attendant and give you every little detail that they give when they used to do it on, you know, in front of you and buckle the seatbelt and all the things. Now it's on a video. But they say something on that airplane that is just, I don't know why. I said it to the kids, and it's just kept coming back to me and kept coming back to me. And I said it last night, and me and Ansley was talking about it. But they say something on there. They say, in case of a loss of cabin pressure, there will be masks that drop down from the overhead compartment. And what they say is, put the mask over your mouth and nose and put the strap over the back of your head and tighten it if necessary. That's about word for word. And then it says, breathe regularly, and if the bag doesn't inflate, don't panic, the air's flowing. And then it says, to assist others. Yes. But it says, make sure that you put your mask on first. Yeah. And the Lord being my helper, that's what I'm going to try to preach on. I know that's absolutely strange. That's weird. I ain't never heard nobody preach about putting a mask on an airplane, and I get that. But y'all bear with me, and y'all pray for me, and I'm going to try to give you what I feel like the Lord gave me. But as I started thinking about that, the first time I ever flew and I heard them say, don't help others till you put your own mask on, I thought, that's absolutely a contradiction to what you would think. You would think, well, my child's sitting next to me on this side, and there's somebody elderly sitting on this side. The first thing surely I need to do is help everybody else. But I'm going to be honest with you, church, this morning. What happens inside of our lives is we get so busy trying to help everybody else that we don't ever check up between us and God. And that's why it's so important when they tell you, you can't help other people if your oxygen ain't flowing. And I don't know how this is going to go, and I don't even know much about it, but I'm going to tell you this today. It's important that you've got oxygen flowing amongst your life. It's important that when the hard times come, you know to put that mask on and tighten it up and breathe regularly, because breathing regularly is important there, that we don't stress. It's important that we understand that in the hardest times of our life, God's still good, thank God. My wife's family member, he's going through one of the hardest times of his life. It's the lowest point of his life. And I told him, I said, you can't give up. You got to keep going. And I told him, I said, what you're going to have to do is go back to the point where everything fell apart. He said, well, how do I find that? I said, it won't be hard. It's where you left God out of your relationship. Amen. It don't take very long for us to figure out, well, I don't understand where it went wrong. Do you know that divorces don't happen by people waking up that same day and going, I think that we're just going to get divorced today? Do you know that people that are homeless don't wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to walk out of this house and go find me a bridge to live under? I don't know many drug addicts that woke up one day and said, I think I'm just going to try heroin and see how this works out. I don't know any alcoholics that woke up one day and said, I think I'm going to see if I can get to the bottom of this whiskey bottle and I'll just continue on. See, it's the same way with sin in our life. It's the same way with our relationships and our marriages. It's the same way with our relationship with God. When neglect comes in, that's exactly when things go awry. Our relationships with God, if we neglect that and all we do is look around at everybody else's life and what everybody else has got going on, there will be consequences that comes from that. You don't believe me? Try it. I don't encourage it, but I've done it plenty of times. There's been times in my life where the hard times came, and sure, I wanted to look at everybody else, and I wanted to go, well, look at what all they got going on. My life can't be that bad. When our eyes ain't on God, we'll find something else to look at, and it won't be near as good, Brother Jeff. We got to put our mask on, tighten it up, and breathe, and have that oxygen of the Lord flowing through us, and then the best thing we can do is help others make sure they're getting the same thing. That's what we, ain't that our whole mission in life? Is for everybody else to experience what we get to experience. But what happens in a lot of ways is we get our relationship with God and say, no, I'm good. It happens all the time. We say we're blood-bought child of the King, but yet the first person we come in contact with, we'll talk about UGA football coming up in the fall for an hour and a half and never even speak about the Lord. I do it all the time. Shame on me. Yeah. Shame on me. I need to be making sure everybody's got their oxygen mask on, Brother Jeff. Making sure that everybody's breathing nice and regular. We can't let our eyes wander around in this world and try to figure out what's going on. This is the declaration, sir. This is a homecoming. And when I think about this, the only reason why we're sitting here today is because somebody else put their oxygen mask on and showed you that it was worth it, Brother Jeff. Amen. They said it's worth coming and getting some of this. You didn't wake up one day. There may be people in here's testimony that stumbled in the back door and found God all on their own. But if we raised our hands, the big, large majority would say that grandma or grandpa or uncle or aunt or husband or wife or somebody got close to God and showed you that it was worth coming to put your mask on. Amen. Somebody did it before you. Somebody did it before them. He told them there, he breathed the... He looked at Adam and he breathed the breath of life in him. That's what we get, thank God. That living soul came alive, thank God. Church, we got to focus on what's important. We got to get to work for Him. I've had this thought that's just been rolling around and it's come out here and it's come out there, but I'm going to be honest with y'all. I've been thinking about Noah nonstop. I don't know why, because when we teach it in Vacation Bible School and Sunday School, we teach it just to the kids. And what we tell them is we say, hey, listen, Noah was found righteous, and he built a boat, and animals got on it, and then he come off, and there was a rainbow, and everything was just beautiful. We skip a lot. We really do. When you think about Noah's life and you think about what he built, Noah built the unbuilt. Do y'all realize that? Noah didn't take the box and dump it out and say, dowel FC goes with screw G4, and he just put all the parts together with the directions that he had. Yeah, God told him the width and the length and the breadth, and it was going to be three stories, and told him to put a window and told him to put a door on the side. He gave him some of that. But did he know what a big floating ark looked like? He built the unbuilt today. And when you think about Noah's life, I think for some reason we think that it was all sunshine and rainbows. It took this man 50 to 150 years, they say, to build this boat. So for 50 to 150 years, this man woke up every day, picked up a hammer, and built a boat, thank God. When you think about that, Jeff, I woke up days I didn't feel like serving God. I'm going to be honest. I didn't feel like getting up out of bed and being a good husband. There's been times in my life where I ain't been a good father. But do you know what we've got to do every day? We got to get up, get the hammer, and get back to work for God. Because that 50 to 150 years, if most of us built it, it'd take us 500. Because we'd wake up and say, not me today. Boy, I hope somebody else does it. That's where we've gotten to in a lot of our churches, and I'm not preaching to Mountain View. I might be just preaching to me this morning. But I'll tell you what I've done many a times. I ain't read throughout the week. I ain't prayed throughout the week. And I've come in on Sunday and thought, boy, I hope Stephen Moore's got a big message to feed me. Shame on me. Shame on me for coming to the dinner table without bringing a dish. Yeah. You know how many people won't stay for homecoming today because they didn't bring something? That's what they'll say. They'll say, I can't stay. I didn't bring anything. We do it to church all the time. We pull up and we show up and we spend an hour and a half getting ready, but we ain't spent 2 minutes praying to God before we got here. But we'll still hold up. We read 7 chapters that week in Sunday school. Brought my Bible. That's great. Did you read it? Well, yeah, I did. I read the Sunday school lesson, but did you meditate on it? Did you study it? Or did you do enough to say, yeah, I read it. Brother Bruce, yeah, I got it. Church, we're in times. Not the times that you're going to think of when I say the word times and everybody freaks out. But we're in times inside of our churches where this world needs us. Yeah. They don't know where to get oxygen from, Brother Jeff. They're riding the plane down, so to speak, not knowing the instruction manual. And it would be wonderful if they could see how calm you were breathing regularly in emergency situations. That's one of the biggest blessings that I saw when my mom passed away. When my mom passed away, I'll be honest with you, I was in torment. It absolutely turned my world upside down in a lot of ways. I was about 4 months away from a church calling me to pastor for the first time. Had not been preaching but about 2 years. I didn't know much in that scripture, and I still don't, Brother Randy. But I still remember standing on this side of her casket, and I watched probably 1,500, 2,000 people come walking down through there and tell me, your mom's Facebook posts or the way your mom carried herself throughout this entire time, it helped my faith. We're supposed to be showing the world that you need to have that oxygen mask on. You need to come get the same thing I've got. If not, you're going to go down in a blaze of fiery fury. Because I'm going to tell you, church, we are in some perilous times. We ain't in the hardest times this world's ever seen. We ain't got police coming in here killing us for worshiping God. We ain't got people coming to try to shut this service down today. I know everybody tells you it's the worst time we ever live, and all those. I'm going to tell you something. We've got some of the best times. I'm going to tell you why, because the church ain't going down. The church ain't hurting today. Yeah, we ain't got as many people as 1985 and the revivals that might have been this, and preachers about wanting to push each other down to go preach at that church or this church. We may not have that right now, but I'm going to tell you what I've seen over the last several years. In the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of these churches that have grown real big and things have happened, but all of a sudden people have been starving over the last 10 years. I've seen a lot of these people going to these churches go to a funeral and go, I ain't heard preaching like that since I was a little girl. I ain't felt that same thing. What are y'all doing different over there? I'm not preaching against other churches. I'm just saying that if the Spirit aligns, the Spirit will tell the truth. Because where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Amen. And if the band and the song leader and the pastor's got to lead the whole thing, that ain't the Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. That's scripture. That ain't my opinion. I appreciate the Holy Spirit. That's what moves God. That's what saves people. That's what causes repentance. It ain't the pastor's message. It ain't the song they sing. We ain't here to jerk a tear out of your eye. All we want today is follow and obey the Holy Spirit of God. And just like the scripture that says, not everyone that cries, Lord, Lord. Not everybody that cries, Lord, Lord. I'm going to tell you something to be very careful of. Not everybody that opens up this book and stands behind this book board preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's more preachers going around right now, Brother Randy, preaching against other preachers than they are preaching to the congregation. There's enough people going around telling everybody that they're wrong for this and they're wrong for that, instead of saying, the Lord loves you, and if you're in your sins and trespasses, you need to put your mask on. Amen. We need to get back to that, I think.
Amen.
Yeah, we need to get back to that. There's enough men of God supposedly standing up behind this book board. And I'm going to tell you this. Just because someone sweats a lot and they scream real loud and they slam on that pulpit, don't mean it's the Spirit of God. Amen. Can I say that? Is that okay? We've got enough people inside of our own churches trying to tear other churches apart instead of trying to put the lost into it. There was something said right here at this very church or an association, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago that stuck with me. I wrote it down in my Bible. This man wasn't even a part of our association. He said, I bet 90 to 95% of people study their Bible day just to win an argument. Yeah. That's about truthful today. People want to stand up and tell you how smart they are and how much they figured out. I don't know nothing today, Brother Crafton. I don't know anything except once I was lost and now I'm saved. I once was blind and now I see. I feel just like that man that laid by the pool of Siloam for 30-something years. Was this man a prophet? Was he something great? I don't know what he was, but I know I was blind and now I see. Thank God. It's about time we put the pitchforks down and pick our hammer back up and get back to working on God's boat. Get back to working on that ark. Because think about all that Noah went through. I can't get away from it. But think about what all Noah went through during this time. If you've ever done construction, if you've ever worked with your hands, you've smashed your finger, you've cut your hands, you've tripped over something, you bumped your head, something's went wrong. But just like Noah, we got to get up every day and get the hammer out and say, I don't care. There's a part of the boat God's got for me to work on. It ain't going to build itself. He built the unbuilt. I don't believe there was a big stack of lumber. I don't believe there was this perfect mixture and ingredients laying over there to make pitch. I believe Noah had to go do some searching, do some walking, do some working. And I bet there's many times, Brother Randy, you might have felt it before I felt it in my ministry. There's been times I felt like I was out there and just nobody cared. That I was working and I was working and I was working. I was saying, God, I can't hear you. I don't understand. But there's also been times where I just kept working. I kept putting that boat together. And then all of a sudden there'd be animals appear out. And I'd say, God, thank you for letting me know I'm going in the right direction. The rain starts to fall. And I say, thank you, God. You didn't leave me. I guess it's time to get in the boat and do exactly what you told me. You told me to build and here's the animals. You told me to build and here comes the rain. I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all can fall out with me if you want. You can correct me at the back door. But when I read the book of Genesis, I believe it is there, and he's building that ark. You know what he tells him? How tall it's going to be. It's 3 stories, all that stuff. You know what's not in there? A rudder or a wheel, thank God. He didn't say, Noah, get in there behind the wheel and steer that thing this way. He said, close the door. He put a window there. That's what our life should be, is let go and let God today. Look out the window into heaven and say, God, I don't know what you got for me, but I trust you today. That's the problem today. We try to steer this thing the way that we feel like our life is supposed to go. But we got to be like that. I think it's Acts, about in the 26th chapter. You got to get in the point of storms in your life where you get to such a point, you got to say, I got to let go and let her drive. That's what it says. They got in a storm. The mast had broke. Everything was wrong. They threw everything over. And they said, I don't know what else to do. We just got to let her drive. And I bet there was times that Noah was on that boat and thought, I don't know if this rain's ever going to stop. He'd never seen a flood like that. He built the unbuilt in a flood that had never flooded. And as they went through there and they traveled along, and he sent the bird out, sent it out again. God, do you hear me? You ever been in that spot? I've been in that spot. I've been in the spot where I said, God, I've done what you've asked me. I've tried to be faithful, but I don't hear you. That's because God ain't done yet. Yeah, God ain't done yet. But we like to get ahead of God's plan like he's a magic genie and say, well, I'm ready for you now, God. But Noah, he could have went inside and said, folks, God brought us all the way here, but we're just going to have to die in here, I guess. But he didn't. He sent the bird out again. Come back with that little branch. I can't imagine the shouts that Noah would have let out. I can't imagine. God, thank you. Thank you to let me know that. You know what the most beautiful part about that story is that I just keep thinking about? You know, the only place you could build something that big is nice and flat. Good work area, right? Make sure you got all the room to make sure you build all that. Why in the world would you build it on top of something? You got to build it somewhere flat. Resources, you're going to make pitch, you got to have water. You got to build it in somewhere that makes sense. But that ain't where he ended up. He might have been down in the valley and had that flat, but he ended up on Mount Ararat. You know why I think he put him on top of that mountain? Not because that's the first thing that receded.
I think he put him on top of that mountain. So when he opened up that side door and Noah looked out, he said, God, this is where you brought me to. Thank you, Lord. Can you imagine how beautiful that land must have looked? Yeah, the day that I got saved, I got down there off a reef station in Calhoun in the middle of a pasture at a bonfire. And it looked the same as when I stood up, but there was something different about it, thank God. I bet when Noah looked out across there, he thought, this is where you brought me from. Thank you, God. Thank you for putting me up here so I can enjoy these things. That's what our life is. Our life does this right here all the way. But I'm going to tell you something. When you ain't got oxygen, you can't think clearly. You can't make the right decisions. You get cloudy inside of your mind. But when that oxygen's flowing clean, I appreciate that my mountains ain't so steep and my valleys ain't so deep. They're just consistent because I know that no matter what happens on the mountain, no matter what happens in the valley, that God's still good today, church. What we try to do in our lives is try to fix the whole situation all at one time. Our marriage is falling apart. We've lost our job. Maybe behind on bills. Whatever it is. We try to fix the whole thing at one time. You get overwhelmed and feel like you're going to just have a heart attack sometimes. Amen. The best thing you can do is do the same thing that you got to do with God and move slow but meaningful. You can't turn a cruise ship around in a Walmart parking lot. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to move something like that. Yeah. Marriages, all these things, they're real today. Yeah. That's the conversation I had to have last night talking to somebody. A broken man just wanting his family and his wife back. Made some mistakes. Did some things. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't done nothing. God can't forgive you. Yeah, it may take some time for your spouse. It may take some time for your friends. It may take some time for your church. But I'm going to tell you, that's just consequences for actions. But my God in heaven will forgive you. Thank God for that. That's what this man was struggling with, broken. I ain't telling his story. I ain't telling his testimony, but I'm just telling you this. I told him, he said, I'm just about ready just to give up. I don't even know if I have anything to even live for anymore. Maybe this darkest time of your life is so a few years down the road, somebody else goes through it, you can say, I'm here to help you today. Let me tell you what my God did for me. Ain't that the point of a testimony? If your testimony is, well, I give up, well, then how good is your God? I'm going to tell you, God's still good today. Even the choices you've made, the life that you're in, the mistakes you've made, God's still good today. And there's something to be said about that. I know there's a lot of people in a lot of churches, they'll go through after that movie come out, and they'll say, God's still good all the time, whatever it is, all the time, God's still good. Sometimes we say things in vain repetition and we take the meaning out of it. You know, we can say it all together. I could say, God's still good. Y'all can say all the time, God's still good. You can say all that stuff, but maybe it don't really mean that much. But in the darkest times of your life, when your world's turned upside down and everything's falling apart, you got to come right here and get down on your hands and knees and tears come from your eye and your heart comes to outpour and you say, God, I know you're still good. I need you in my life. I've went the wrong way. Please come back in. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. Just fix this, please, God. That'll mean a whole lot more than if we get together and make a big mantra so people can hear it on Facebook. I ain't putting nobody down that says that. I'm really not. But there's also people in this scripture that was put down for walking through the streets in fancy clothes saying prayers of vain repetition. All we're saying today is, if you need something from God, you just come get it. Yeah, Sister Dalen knows exactly where to get help. Ain't that what we're supposed to do today? Ain't we supposed to get in such a condition that we say, I can't hold on to it anymore. God, I got to give it to you. That's where we're supposed to go to get help. Ain't nothing wrong with that. The best times to get help is now. Yeah. Be where your feet are. God will forgive you for your past. Yeah. Thank God for that. But we got to get people back to work today. We got to be like Nehemiah when he built that. He had a weapon in one hand and a tool, I think a shovel maybe in the other hand, and he would fight off the enemy when they came, and he'd go to work as soon as they left. If Nehemiah sat down, the wall wouldn't get built, and it sure wouldn't get defended. But the problem is, there's been a lot of people slide back on God and say, you know what? They're doing a pretty good job up there. Maybe if they ever need me, then I'll pitch in. What would we see happen if we had revival before revival ever got here? Maybe Brother Joey and Brother Robbie come show up and say, I don't know what y'all been up to up here at Mountain View. I don't know what y'all been doing in your hearts. I don't know what you've been doing in the closets at home. I don't know what you've been doing between you and God. But I guess we're just here to ride the roller coaster with you today. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But what we do is we go, boy, I'm going to bottle all this up. And I hope we have some good services. And maybe Brother Robbie or Brother Joey will bring this message that really stirs me up. And maybe finally I'll get there. This is homecoming. Homecoming. Yeah. What a better thing to do than to come home. To come home. There's a lot of Christians today living out in the yard, sleeping in tents, when God's got a refuge for them today. Yeah, maybe it is time to come home. I'm thankful I'm already living at home. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful the tabernacle of God is with men. I'm thankful we can dwell with God today. That's a wonderful thing today, church. Y'all come sing some verse of a song. I'm done. They need to pray. Somebody come and sing something. And if you ain't got nothing to sing, then pray for them. If you ain't got the willingness to pray for them, then pray for me. But let's sing some verse of a song. And let's get down to business. This might be the first time in your life you decided that, well, I look like church and I act like church, but I ain't got the Lord in my life. Maybe you've sat here for years and years like, what was his name? The young boy that fell out of the window. I can't even think of what his name was. But that little young boy, he was real close to hearing the preached word. I believe that it says that that man preached through midnight and all the way into the morning. And that boy sat on the window sill listening and fell asleep into a deep sleep. Said he fell out the window. Boy, I've been there. I've sat on the windowsill with the best intentions to hear what God's got for me. And yet I've fallen asleep and fallen out the window many a times. Church, you might be on that teeter-totter edge, sitting on the window, little in for God and a little out for God. But I got news for you. You can't serve the world and serve God. It said you can't serve two masters. You'd hate one and love the other. What do you need this morning? What do you need this morning? If you need something, come get it. Be such a time as this. Today is the day of salvation. That mean I'm gonna get saved? Salvation can mean many of things. Can be the day you get born again. But salvation is also some freedom and some liberty from the ways you've been living. Getting salvation away from a lifestyle. You need something today. All you gotta do is come get it. We don't come to church because we're perfect. We come to church because we know one that is. Y'all sing. I'm in y'all's way. Y'all go ahead.